So remember what we've talked about, the simple levels of which we understood the very clear-cut differences. It wasn't complicated between Tumas Midras and Tumas Hesed and the Midras of the Zoph himself versus the Dinim of the Kalim that he was Yoshev on, how they give off Tuma. That's not the same as how the Zoph gives off Tuma. We understand the simple meaning of the Hesed of the Zoph being a mirror image which appears nowhere else of the Masa of the Zoph. And we then started to get into the complexities of the fact that there are mirror images, and those mirror images are nogea lahalacha. So, for instance, a human being who can carry things and be metame things b'masa is also considered to be able to be mekabel tuma in the same way in the case of a zov, where mirror images are applicable, because that's called the Hesed, he's able to be mekabel tuma directly the way that he would be mitame. And therefore, there's a din of tuma b'chiburim, and so long as he's attached to it, he's considered to be the equivalent of an avatuma. That was a very special kind of situation. Now, I'll give you another example of a subtle mirror image. And that was the tuma that we discussed yesterday, which is that he's metame be'even misama. And remember, what that means is that if you've got a massive weight that is over something and lying on something and is mekabel tumas mishkav u'moshav, if you add the weight of the zov to the even misama, then the mishkav u'moshav will be actually tame because of midras, despite the fact that we don't note any additional impact on the object of being mekabel the mishkav u'moshav. The fact that the zov is on top of it means that he is considered to be tame the mishkav u'moshav beneath him. But the mirror image of that means that if we're transferring the tuma of the zov to an adam who is tahar, which is only true by zov, that the same thing would apply. And that therefore, if I am, so to speak, carrying by putting my finger underneath a space of a pile of a ton of bricks, and there's a human being who's tahar on top of those bricks, I will be metame as a zov, that human being. Now, normally, as the Mishnah went out of its way to show, that is not the way that you would be able to be metame b'masa. Because in order to be metame b'masa, you would have to actually be moving something. If you're not moving something, then you're not being metame it b'masa. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, again, the way that we understood Rebbe Eliezer until now, which is like almost all the Rishonim except the Rambam, who bitterly contests that idea, but we'll talk about him in a moment. So if you do a masa and you're holding something and you're not moving it, then you're not, if you're moving something and you're not holding it, then you're not going to be metame. So that's what Rebbe Eliezer says. You've got to be actually holding it at the same time. Note the words, every time this is brought up, we're going to be bringing it up again. Rebbe Eliezer says, Av ha no say. But the Gemara in Chulin changes that and says it's not what he's saying. It's not Av ha no say. It is Vehu she'nusa. That the point over here is that if he's being no say, also, that's what af means. Af, he's also being no say at the same time that he's being mesit, then he's going to be metame. But if he's not no say and he's just mesit, he would be metame. And everybody agrees, if there is a component of hasata, that's absolutely essential. But if you would just be no say and not be mesit, that's not the definition of tumas mas. The Rambam learns exactly the opposite. According to the Rambam, the meaning of nose is to hold something up, and it is not to move something. And therefore, the opposite is true. If you're being nose something, so then 100% you become tame, whether you're moving it or you're not moving it. It has nothing to do with that. at all. And nobody would argue on that. So even though we said before, Kol ha-nosei v'nisa agabei ha-nevela tohor, which everybody thought meant if it's not being moved and it's just being held up, that is a reference to kelim, not to an adam. It's a completely different situation about an adam. If an adam is actually on top of the nevela, so according to the Chachamim, if he didn't move it, it's tahor. But if he did move it, it's tameh. And Rabbi Eliezer says there's no such tumah as moving things. You would only be become tameh if you are holding it up, unless of course you're nogea. So we have a very different spread over here between the Rambam's understanding of the normal masa and all the other Rishonim. So let's keep that in the background. We've been learning it like the Rosh and the Rash and so on, but remember that this is not the way the Rambam sees the whole Shita. So now, in terms of the mirror image, if there's a din of Evan Misama, can you move a 10,000-pound stone and be Mitame Bemasa? No. I don't know anybody who can lift the 1,000-pound stone. So if that's what we're talking about, then obviously the mirror image of the Evan Mesama, which says that if the Zav is underneath and he's being mesit, so to speak, the person who's on top, it doesn't mean that he has to actually move him. And therefore, as particularly, this was the Rashi's for we discussed yesterday. So particularly when it comes to Zav, it's impossible to insist that there be an actual support and movement of the person in order for him to become tamei. And therefore, even if the Zav just puts his finger underneath that Evan Misama, and now the Torah is on top of it, it's going to be mitamei him, something that would not apply to the normal dinim of Masa, where over there is a component of actual support and possibly even moving, if you don't hold of the Rambam, that's the fundamental meaning of the Masa. So now let's talk about another very important difference. Remember that the idea of Tumas Midras, as we saw, remember we had the case of the benches that are lined up and the Zov is lined perpendicular across the benches. None of those benches become Tame. Why? Because none of them are supporting the actual weight of the Zov. They're supporting only a small percentage of his weight. But, and the same thing is true, by the way, in the opposite case. The Tohar, if he is sitting on top of something, on that bed, it has to be his weight is on that bed, and not that only part of his weight was on that bed. But now the question is, let's look at it from the point of view of the couch or the bed. Does the thing that is being mekabel the tumah, does it need to be most of its surface is in touch with that weight? Or anywhere on its surface that weight is put turns it into midras? Well, this the Mishnah finally, this first time we've discussed this issue. If the weight of the Zav is only on a tiny part of the couch, or if the weight of a tahar is on a tiny part of a couch which is already tameh, the midras, that is completely effective, and either the couch or the person is going to become tameh because the din of rove of the weight has nothing to do with rove of the surface. Don't confuse the two. So we don't care how much of that couch the Zav is on. He put his whole weight right on the edge, a tiny part of the couch. The whole couch becomes tameh. And if the Torah person sits on a couch like that, just on the edge, but it's his weight on the edge, he is going to become tameh. And therefore, would be true in both cases. If miktsat ha-tameh is ala mishkav, or the miktsat ha-tohar is ala mishkav, then he will be tohar. So if you have the tameh is only on a small part, al miktsat ha-mishkav, or a tahor is al miktsat ha-mishkav, his tummy. In the event that he only put part of his weight on it, oh, so you only have some of the tummy on the Mishkav, or it's tummy and you have some of the Torah's weight is on the Mishkav, then he's Torah. As we made very clear before, it's a completely different situation. So let's just put it very clearly to you. The Tuma that got into that Mishkav, it goes into that Mishkav, and it comes out of that Mishkav from any little bit, even Bimiyuto. The transmission to or from is not a function of the surface area. And therefore, even Bimiyuto, the Tuma can go into it from the Zov's Rov weight, or go out of it to the Tahar's Rov weight. Now, we also know that things that are not Adam, so the halacha was, we spoke about in the case if it's not Adam and it's not Kli Cheres, so we said anything, we said any Madaf, we called it. So Ochlin or Mashkin, that either is Nisa or is Nasui by the Mishkav of the Zav, is Tahar as long as there's no Negiah. And it's only if the Zav himself actually does that Hesed, but not if the Mishkav of a Zav, because a Mishkav of a Zav can't carry things. So, again, that's that mirror image idea. An Adam who can carry things, just like there's a Masa, there's a Hesed. A robot who can't technically carry things, that only there is no Masa and Hesed, and therefore there would only be Maga. In order to avoid MAGA, all you need to have is a piece of paper, and that will stop the MAGA, right? So let's imagine a case. You've got a piece, you have a beautiful challah that's made out of truma, and it's wrapped in a piece of paper. You put it down on the Mishkav, as long as the piece of paper, on the niyar ben hatayim, you have a piece of paper between it and the Mishkav, and I don't care what we're talking about, whether we're talking about Ben Milamalan, like I just explained, or Ben Milamatan. If you have something that was a Mishkav, maybe the person's shirt, and he had lied on his shirt. And now the shirt goes on top of the Truma, and there's a piece of paper between them. Even if it's Truma, and Truma usually is very easy to be Mitame, and even though all you've got over here is a little piece of paper, what's the difference? It is Tahar, because we learned this beferish in the Mishnah, that if it's true that an individual human, he becomes Tameh either by being underneath, because if he's being Masa, or therefore because of the mirror image, because of the Hesed. But things that are not Shaykh to Masa are completely Tahar unless they came B'negiyah. So this is a beautiful example of the Yisod that we had back in Mishnah Gimel. They're not considered to be on top of a Mishkav. They can't sit in the same way that they can't carry. So therefore, it would be totally Tahar. Now, the same din applies to an Evan from a house that had Sarat. So you have an Evan Minugat. That Evan is actually, if it's touching something on top of it with a piece of paper that's between it, it cannot be metameit, because a stone cannot be nosei, or vice versa. If you have a stone that is on a beautiful challah, but the challah is inside of a paper bag, it doesn't make any difference. Inside of the paper bag, it's not going to become kabbal tuma, because there's no tuma b'maga, since the paper separates it. Rabbi Shimon says, excuse me, but you're forgetting something very important. And what you're forgetting is that we have a din of the moshavo of a mitzora, which is something like the tuma of an ohel, but it's not being under the same roof, it's being in the same place. And that made a big difference, because if somebody was walking through, he would not be mekabel tuma, and so on. Okay, as if that mitzora, it has to be his place. But in this case, Tainis Rabbi Shimon, that the Tuma would actually be Mitame the Truma, because the stone from a Bias Menuga is also Mitame its place, because of the Michutz L'machane Moshavo. We learn another concept called the Moshav of the Mitzora. It's his home. And therefore, if it would be here, that wouldn't be saving it by having a piece of paper between it, because it's not becoming tame through maga. It's becoming tame through the moshav of the mitzorah, which is a completely, totally new type of tuma, which is important to note over here, even though we don't paskin in this case like Rabbi Shimon. So we need to add an additional tuma today in that.